Well, here we are. Week two of Freeway. If you looked at the sign outside at the front as you came in, you noticed that it said, "Pull back the curtain of your life." Lee asked me this morning, "Does that have anything to do with the Wizard of Oz?" I said, "Yeah, Lee, but shh, can't give it away yet. We'll get there." Last week, we kicked off the Freeway series by looking at two things: freedom and invitation. Using the metaphor of a train on its tracks, we recognize that freedom is about becoming who we are in the image of God. Not simply jumping off the tracks to do whatever we want, because that just makes us a free wreck of a train. True freedom is not about insisting on our own way. Instead, true freedom is about being free from the kinks in our lives. Free from the things that keep us from becoming all that God has made us to be. Free from those things that would block God's grace in our lives. One of the big kinks in our lives has to do with our identity. Who we are and whose we are, as the cliche phrase goes. But you see, we have a tendency to forget who we are. Last week I quoted Henry Nouwen to remind us of that. It's a lot like the running away that the boy in the story of the prodigal son does. We read that story last week in most of its entirety. Like the prodigal son, we have a tendency to take what's ours and wander off, run away with our lives to do whatever we want. And most of the time we find that life is not as we thought it was, not as we thought it would be. For some of us, we're eating metaphorical pig slop, like the son in the prodigal story. Eating pig slop in our lives and longing to come home. To come home to something real and something meaningful, something sustainable and life-giving. The good news is that God extends an invitation to each of us, an invitation to stop running and come home. His arms are wide open, just like the father in that prodigal son story, open to each of us. The invitation is to stop. God's eyes are filled with tears of love and joy simply at the sight of us. And so today, I want to continue reflecting on this prodigal story as we look at week two of Freeway. And I want to focus on just one verse. I'm not sure that I've taken a Sunday to focus on just one verse in Scripture, but this Sunday I'm going to focus in on one verse. Luke 15:17. You can read a part of that verse with me if you want to. Just a few words. "He came to his senses." He came to his senses. Literally, in the Greek, this would be translated something like, having come to himself, having appeared to himself, having returned to himself. But a lot of our interpretations of the Bible, a lot of our translations, know that we'll make more sense of that if we simply translate it, "He came to his senses." In other words, he became aware of something about himself that he had not previously known. He came to himself. He returned to himself. He had an epiphany. As he thought about his life, a light bulb went off in his head. He became aware. He became self-aware. As we think about that this morning, I wonder how many of us are aware. I wonder how aware we really are. How aware am I? How aware are you? The truth is, we may never really and truly run home to God if we never have that moment of awareness when we, like the prodigal son, come to our senses, where we truly appear to ourselves. So let's think about this for a minute. How aware are we really? Going to have a little fun. So walk this journey with me. Look to the screen over here on my left, your right. I'm going to show you a short clip. And if you've seen it before, then maybe you know how this works. But what I'm going to ask you to do Pay attention and tell me how many times the team in white passes the ball. You got it? You can all see it. How many times does the team in white pass the ball?
How many passes does the team in white make?
Okay. What'd you get?
13.
Everybody agree 13? How many say 13? Okay, how many got a different number? Anybody? A few got a different number. Okay. A little hard, it's a little dark in there. So 13, most of you say 13. But how many of you saw the moonwalking bear? Yeah, how many of you saw the moonwalking bear? Anybody? Nobody saw the moonwalking bear. I tell you what, let's rewind it. Let's rewind it and try again and see if you can find the moonwalking bear this time. Here we go.
Here we go, right in the middle of the screen. Moonwalking bear. Moonwalking down the road. Right across the screen. So you didn't see that?
Really? Well, suffice it to say that we're not always as aware as we think we are we?
I know that's fine.
Thank you. I got an amen out there. Good. You know, it's interesting. If I had come to you and said, I want you to see this video because I got to talk to you about something after it, and I showed it to you and I said, we got a bear epidemic in our community and we got to do something about it. And y'all are looking at me like, what in the world is this crazy guy talking about? You're thinking, well, I saw some basketballs being passed, and there were some pretty lazy passes. We might need to get with the kids in our community and teach them how to pass a basketball, but I don't see any bear problems. And yet all the time, right in front of us, was a moonwalking bear. Okay, I hope that was fun. Let's just do one more. I want you to watch, and you're going to see a problem develop in the video, and see if you can figure it out by the end.
At precisely 3:34 this afternoon was brutally bludgeoned to death with a blunt instrument. I want each of you to tell me your whereabouts at precisely the time that this dastardly deed took place.
I was polishing grass in Mark's bedroom.
I got in resorted to stones for no share, sir.
But I was polishing my petunias in the body shed. Constable, arrest! Let me smile. How did you know the man with any more conscience will tell you mother's not an opportunist to lay his house everywhere? It's just a matter of observation. The real question is how observant were you?
The real question is how observant were you? Did anybody figure out it was Lady Smythe? By the end, probably not. Who knew that you only planted petunias a certain time of the year, and that was what the detective deducted, right? But there was something else happening in this video as well. Did anybody catch it? Did you catch it, Carol?
I think so. At first, the guy was holding a rolling pin, and then he was holding a candelabra.
Yeah. Did anybody catch that? Okay, one or two. In fact, there were 21 different things that happened in this video. You got one, Carol. There was at least 20 more. So let's rewind, take a step back, and see all the things that we weren't aware of.
Clearly, somebody in this room murdered Lord Smythe. Who, at precisely 3:34 this afternoon, was brutally bludgeoned to death with a blunt instrument. I want each of you to tell me your whereabouts at precisely the time that this dastardly deed took place.
I was polishing grass in Mark's bedroom.
I got in resorted to stones for no share,
but I was polishing my tulips in the body shed. Constable, arrest!
Now that's the same video. We just backed the camera up and you could see everything that was going on. But did you notice how much the room changed when you watched it the first time? Same video, just two different camera angles. Amazing, isn't it? We're not always aware as we think we are. If I had told you that there's a thief in the room before you watch that video and you got to figure out what happened, probably none of us would have ever figured out who the thief was. When in fact, there was dozens of thieves taking things off walls and replacing them and turning pictures and so on and so forth. We're not always aware as we think we are. Sometimes we'll dismiss things in our life because we didn't see them. Never mind, they're happening right in front of our eyes. You see, awareness is key. Awareness is key to the change in our lives that we want. It's key to discovering freedom. If we want to be free from depression or disappointment, from frustration or unworthiness, if we want to be free from financial stress or loneliness, free from fatigue and superficiality in our lives, if we want to be free from doubt and anger and despair, if we want to be free from anything, we first have to become aware. Aware of our thoughts and our feelings. Aware of where those thoughts and feelings come from. Aware of our life. Because you can't do something about something that you don't see. Did you hear me say that again? You can't do something about something that you don't see. Let me explain it this way. When Toyota, everybody knows Toyotas, right? Big car manufacturer. When they were developing their engineering process, Mr. Sakichi Toyota developed a process that helped improve their engineering practices. They were looking at causes of engineering problems in their cars, and they found that the initial problem that they discovered was rarely the proper fix. They had to find the root cause of the problem to successfully fix the problem. And so they came up with a process of asking why. Why? Why? Not once, not twice, but at least five times. Many in the business world will know this process as the five whys. For example, and this is actually, you can find this on the Toyota website. A welding robot at Toyota stops in the middle of its operation. What do you do? Well, of course, you ask, why did the robot stop? Well, when they did this, they determined a fuse had blown because a circuit had overloaded. Now, they could have replaced the fuse and kept going, right? Or they could say, well, why did the circuit overload and cause the fuse to blow? So they did. They asked, and they discovered that there was insufficient lubrication on the bearings. And so the bearings locked up, caused the circuit to overload, and the fuse blew. Now, they could have increased the lubrication in this particular bearing to solve the problem, but they didn't stop there. They said, why was there insufficient lubrication on the bearings in the first place? Well, they determined that the oil pump on the robot wasn't circulating sufficient oil. Now, they could have replaced the oil pump, right? Maybe even gotten a higher grade oil pump, who knows? That could have fixed that problem. But they didn't stop there. They said, why is the pump not circulating sufficient oil? And they discovered that the pump intake was clogged with metal shavings. They could have cleaned it out, or they could have put a new pump in at this point as well. But they didn't. They asked why again for a fifth time. And they discovered, when they asked, why is the intake clogged with metal shavings? They discovered that there was no filter on the pump. And they had gotten to the root cause of an engineering problem that at first looked like a blown fuse. All because they used a pump on a robotic arm that didn't have a filter. Order a pump with the filter, put it on, no more problem. But if you fix that at any step along that 5-Y process before you got to the filter problem, and that same problem would have been replicated, maybe in a matter of time, right? If you stop at any point before the root cause of a problem, you don't really solve the problem. You just band-aid a symptom, and the problem is going to reoccur. We do this a lot in our lives without realizing it. We're struggling with people, with situations, with problems in our lives, and we band-aid a symptom. That is, we deal with things on the surface that are uncomfortable, like tears, or anger, or mean words, financial difficulties, blown fuses in our lives. And we do these without ever being aware of what is really going on deep, deep down. We have to start asking why in our lives. We have to stop band-aiding our life and start digging deeper to get to the real root cause of pain and struggle and discomfort in our lives. Things that keep us down, that bind us up, and keep us from being free. And the toughest part of trying to ask why and dig deeper is that we all have blind spots. Spiritual blind spots. Emotional blind spots. Relational blind spots. Financial blind spots. Parenting blind spots. You see, there's things about our lives that we just can't see. It's very hard to take the camera angle and pull it back and look at everything going on. For example, some of us talk too much. We dominate conversations and we don't even realize it. Some of us are too touchy-feely, to the point of violating other people's personal space, and everybody knows it but us. Some of us are overconfident and we don't realize it because confidence has become a coping mechanism for some insecurity that lives deep within us. Some of us are always trying to make jokes and be funny because deep down we're afraid to just be ourselves. Maybe even because we aren't sure of who ourself really is. And we don't see that we're doing this, but folks around us do. In other words, the truth about you and the truth about me is that we don't really know the truth about ourselves all that clearly. And that can be a pretty scary truth to consider in our lives. The truth, you see, is often hard to spot. Lee, now we're at that Wizard of Oz story. You remember this scene after Dorothy and her friends have defeated the Wicked Witch and they come back to the Wizard of Oz. The wizard was this big booming green face right up in front of them, and it was scary and there was flames coming out from everywhere. And they're telling the wizard, they hand the wizard the broom, right? They've got the broom there that the wizard tasked them to get so that he would do something for them, get him home, give him a heart, give him a brain, so on and so forth. And as the wizard is saying, making excuses for not doing what they had asked, all of a sudden, little Toto notices something in the room that nobody else has noticed. And he runs over to the side, and there's a curtain, and he grabs it with his jaws, and he pulls it back to reveal what? A simple, ordinary man, turning knobs and pulling levers and making all kinds of things happen, that looked on the surface like a big green talking head with fire coming out all over the place. Toto pulls back the curtain to reveal what's really going on. We need to do the same thing in our lives. Become aware, discover the truth means pulling back the curtain of your life to see what is really going on, what's behind the scenes, what are the groans within us that are too deep for words, the motivation behind your actions, what's going on in your subconscious mind, what's going on behind the curtain, and who or what is pulling the levers and turning the knobs in your life. Now, as I've heard from people who have been able to pull back the curtain of their lives, people who've become aware of their deepest motivations, their greatest fears, and the things that make them tick, I've heard lots of different stories. Some talk about this monumental moment of clarity in their lives when they could just tell the curtain was pulled back and they knew something that they had never known and understood before. Just like Toto in The Wizard of Oz. Bang! And they saw for what it was. Other folks talk about a process. A lot of work, a lot of prayer and reflection and coaching and counseling. Some talk about a very mysterious spiritual experience in their lives. Others speak in very practical, step-by-step terms. Because you see, there's no one way to create awareness. There's no one way to come to yourself as the son did in the prodigal story. But I do think that there are a few things in common when we come to our senses, when we appear to ourselves. You see, awareness doesn't come by accident. It takes intention and it takes work in our lives. First, and almost always, it begins with a decision, a willful decision. You have to make up your mind and say to yourself, my life will not be defined by the pain or the frustration or the anger or the shame or the grief or the fear or the loss that I've experienced. Those things will not hold me down or bind me up any longer. Think about this. When did the prodigal son come to his senses? It wasn't when he was running. It wasn't when he was out partying and spending all of his inheritance. It wasn't when he was in a hurry to do anything. In fact, it was only when he slowed down, when he made a decision, when he became intentional about what was going on in his life. It was only when he was in the pig lot and he had nothing else to do. He's hungry. He's literally sitting around with pigs reflecting on his life. Reflecting on his life compared to the pig's life. If only I had the slop the pigs have, I'd be better off than I am now. That's a pretty intense moment of self-reflection in that boy's life, don't you think? But that's the moment when the prodigal son, as the scripture reads, came to himself. It's when he appeared, maybe for the first time in his life, when he appeared to himself, when he came to his senses and became aware. There are things in our lives, you see, that keep us from becoming aware. Things that are especially good in our society that keep us from becoming self-aware. Busyness is one of them. Never slowing down, never taking time to stop, never putting time towards ourselves. There's competition. Climbing the ladder of success, of achievement, the rat race that we talk about in our jobs and our workplaces keeps us from taking time to come to ourselves. There's all kinds of distractions in our life. Just watch the news. You'll be distracted. Read the paper. Look at social media. Watch a television program. There are plenty of distractions out there that ask us to pay more attention to what is out there than what is in here. Entertainment, consumption, just go out and buy this next thing. I mentioned this before. There used to be this commercial for General Motors trucks, and the slogan in the commercial said something that like, it's not more than you need, just more than you're used to. If ever there was a commercial that summed up advertising in our society, I think this one is it. It's not more than you need, just more than you're used to. You see, there's things that will distract us and compel us to buy the next thing, to watch the next thing, to consume the next thing out there and keep us from doing the work that we need to be doing in our lives if we want to really be free. One of the best cures for all of these things is this. It's quite simple. Slow down. Just like the prodigal son did. Be intentional. Be mindful. Take time for yourself, for self-reflection and self-care, whether you're too busy or too bored with your life. And sometimes we're busy being bored. Busy being lonely. Busy just being. Because busyness, you see, is a common disease that we share in our society. It's extremely contagious, so watch out. It's a viral epidemic. But whether you're too busy or too bored, I encourage you to slow down, to listen to your life, to be intentional and mindful of your thoughts and your actions and your motivations, of your feelings and your perceptions. Slow down and love yourself by seeking to understand yourself. This week we're going to send devotions out. You may have grabbed them on your way in one of the doors, and I hope that you did. If not, we're going to also send them out over email. And they're going to be different activities and different things that ask you to pause and consider your life, to think about your doings and your goings-ons and your thoughts and your feelings and what's happening. But I want you to hear me say this again before you leave today. Slow down. Authors write a lot about how we love to be busy and in a hurry in our society. We love to keep our time filled with doing things. And chances are, if we get to Wednesday or Tuesday or Thursday and I ask one of you all this week, how are you doing? You're probably going to respond, oh, I'm keeping busy. Or I'm just too busy. Or I've been so busy, but I finally got a chance to catch my breath. It's kind of funny, really. We complain about being busy, but we keep ourselves being busy. It's like we don't really want to not be busy. But friends, if we want the freedom that God has for us, if we want to be that all that God has made us to be, if we want fulfillment in our lives, we have to slow down. And like that prodigal son, pull back the curtain, pull back the camera, and become aware. We have to stop saying, I'm busy, and start saying, God, I'm ready. Amen.